be declaring, delivering things that's going to be impactful to this region and this area. So we're gonna do our best to participate in that. Hallelujah. What an amazing God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are preparing for what God has for us. And he is speaking in some very powerful ways, and we're going to listen to him. Thank you, Lord. Today is not just any day. It is a day that God finally has given me permission and the insight and understanding to begin to preach a series of messages that he's been talking to me about for years. And I've not been able to preach on it. I've practiced it, but I've not been able to preach on it because I couldn't come to the understanding of how to articulate without it just becoming some cheap, message. But the depth of it is beyond our understanding. And I have been praying all week. This has been quite a week. I mean, I have felt the power of God in ways that has just been amazing. I've spent a lot of time in this auditorium singing this message. Couldn't pray it, I sang it. I've just been singing the truths of God all week. And as I began to prepare it, I thought, man, I want to preach this whole message tomorrow. Yesterday I was thinking, I want to preach this whole message tomorrow. But the Lord has helped me to understand that all that would do is inspire us. But we need the power of the truth. We need the power of revelation. So I'm just gonna ask Holy Spirit today to give me the ability to not only preach this but to teach this. And Lord God, just cause revelation to come alive inside of our heart. God, because this is a dynamic change in how we operate in the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you, God, that this is a dynamic shift. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. See, I started out getting ready to preach on how Apostle Paul and Timothy address the issues and established one of the strongest churches of the New Testament in Ephesus, and yet it was a quagmire of sin, immorality, and ungodliness. And yet they were able to establish one of the strongest churches of that day in that quagmire and overcome. And I was going to preach on that, and Holy Spirit said, no, that would just be dealing with what's going on. But he wants to give us the insight. Oh my goodness. He wants to give us the insight and understanding of how to go beyond dealing with what's going on and how to conquer it. How to overtake it. Hallelujah. Glory. As I was looking at this, for years I've looked at this and I've said, God, how can I teach this? Because on the surface, it would become just another cheap prosperity message if you preached it in just the knowledge that we have. And as I kept praying about it, this week, Holy Spirit took me below the surface and began to show me the power and the depth that he's wanting to reveal to his body and help us to understand our stance and who we are and where we're at. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. As I was praying this week, and actually I was on the lawnmower mowing. It's amazing how God can speak to you at some of the strangest times. I was on the lawnmower mowing, trying to catch up with some work at home, And I was praying about this. And I've been talking about it a lot lately, but just not knowing how to articulate it. And I was praying about this, and Holy Spirit spoke something to me that was so profound that it shook my spirit. He said, "You have won victories. And every victory that you've won, you've been happy, but you've been satisfied with the victory. But," he said, "you've left the battlefield littered with spoil that you have not gathered up." Wow. When he said that, all of a sudden I began to understand what he was wanting to get across to us in this day. Hallelujah. In Matthew, turn with me to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where we're going to begin, and then we're going to be moving to 1 Samuel. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus made this declaration. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's a powerful statement. We'll understand that a little more in depth in just a few minutes. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, the way Jesus stated this, it sounds simple. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Everybody say that with me. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Now, Jesus just simply said, "Okay, now go and make disciples of all nations." Simple statement. But in the book of 1 Samuel, go with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. Verses 1 through 10, talking about David at Ziklag. It said, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacking Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way." Man, there's 15 messages in every line of this. "So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." How many is distraught today at our women and our children being taken captive? "And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop?' shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Hallelujah. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. When I looked at this and looked at what God was trying to say to me, I began to understand a principle, and I began to understand some things that on the surface we haven't been able to grab hold of. Now, Holy Spirit has told me that there are some truths that are going to be revealed in our day that have been hidden ever since the fall. And they're truths about the relationship between us and Father God. We don't clearly understand where we are. We don't have a clear understanding. We've made tremendous strides in coming to a place of being able to understand kingdom, being able to understand Father God, being able to understand anointing, and yet we are still shallow in our understanding. But Holy Spirit has promised me that there are deep truths that were covered by the fall of man in the connection between us and God that are going to start being revealed in our day and cause us to become more established than we've ever been before. I'm not talking about silly things that inspire us. We're always trying to find some new doctrine, some new way, some new... I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the next sensational, shiny thing. I'm talking about a revelation that so establishes your heart with Father God that nothing can move you to the point that the devil, the world, nobody can get between you and God. Because we finally understand. David came back, the city of Ziklag, which had been given to him to live in, had been burned with fire. And the Amalekites had been raging through the south. They'd been attacking village after village, town after town, city after city. And then they came to Ziklag, and they made a fatal error. Because when they attacked Ziklag, they didn't just attack a city. They didn't just attack a people. They attacked the anointing. When they came against Ziklag, they came against the established anointing of Almighty God. And David, distraught because of his sons and daughters being taken, the wives being taken, he was distraught. All the people were distraught, just like we are today. There's so much ungodliness taking place. We could talk today about the homosexual agenda that is rampaging not only through other areas, but now in our area. We are in the recovery ministries in Branson. We are now running up against the homosexual agenda that is shutting us out of helping people and declaring that we are full of hate speech. And even Christian ministries in Branson are embracing homosexuality and drawing a line in the sand and saying, we won't work with you. We could talk about that. We can talk about the fact that our southern border is not just a place where illegals are coming across, but has become the epicenter of human trafficking for the world. It is not just about illegals coming in. It's about undocumented, untraceable children that do not have birth certificates and cannot be traced. Thousands being brought in across the border and sold to the highest bidder out of this nation. We could talk about that. And our hearts are heavy. Just as David, we cry and we weep and we think, what are we going to do? What can we do about this situation? And they wept until they had no more power to weep. But then something happened to David. See, David was not just a man that had an army. David had been brought in before the Lord. And Samuel had taken the horn of oil and poured it over David. And the anointing presence of Almighty God came upon David, and he was appointed by God, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. And I got to tell you something, at that point, it was not just a commander of an army saying, I'm going to have to stir myself up. It was something on the inside of him. That oil began to activate, and the anointing began to rise up, and all of a sudden, David felt encouraged in the Lord, because of strength beyond the strength of humanity began to come up inside of him. And David suddenly stood up and said, bring me the ephod. I got to talk to God about this situation. They brought the ephod in, and David had two questions for God. He didn't say, God, how could you let this happen? You know I'm the anointed of God. How could you let this happen? He didn't say, oh God, you didn't protect my loved ones while I was gone. I can't believe you let me down like that. No. When you got a connection to God that goes beyond the surface, when you understand the depth of your relationship, as Pastor Rob was talking about, then you get rid of those foolish questions and you start saying, okay, God, what are we going to do about this? Hey! David had two questions. He said, shall I pursue? He didn't say, shall we? He said, shall I pursue? And shall I overtake them? Woo! And God said, now you're talking my language, David. He said, yeah, get up and pursue. And you shall overtake them. And then God added some more. He said, you will recover everything without fail. Hey. Man, we have sung, we've sung the songs, and but we haven't practiced it real good. You shall recover all. In the late 70s, early 80s, there was a song come up in the church that we began to sing. Well, I'm going to the enemy's camp. Going to take back what he stole from me. Take back what he stole from me. Take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. Going to take back what he stole from me. He's under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet. He's under my feet, under my feet. Satan is under my feet. We know that song. Hallelujah. We know that song. But I'm afraid that the body of Christ forgot how to go before God and say, God, you've anointed us. God, you've given us power. Shall we pursue? Shall we pursue? Instead, we've sat in our comfy churches and talked about how the devil is beating us up, how the devil's taking advantage of us, how bad it's getting. We've sat and fought each other over silly little stupid stuff when God was waiting for us to come before him and say, God, shall we pursue? God, shall we pursue? The enemy has come and stealing our children. He's stealing our people. He's stealing our finances. He's stealing our health. Shall we pursue? God's saying the same thing he's always said. Go. Go. Amen. Go, therefore. See, David had some truths and he had an anointing. So he rose up and he took off. And the men that were thinking about stoning, man, I'm going to tell you something. When the people of God start standing up in the anointing and the strength of God, when one of God's people gets courage, when one of God's people suddenly becomes embraced with faith and stands up, I'll tell you, the backbones of everybody around that person will start stiffening up and saying, we got to go. Put down the rocks. We're going to drop the rocks. We're not going to throw rocks at each other anymore. We're not going to throw rocks at the pastors. We're not going to throw rocks at the worship leaders anymore. We're not going to throw rocks at each other. We're going to get up. We're going to drop the rocks. And we're going to get up and pursue. Amen. See, David walked out. When he walked out of his conference with God, there was a different look on his face. He wasn't crying anymore. He wasn't sad anymore. He walked in there, humped over, full of grief. But when he met with God, courage and faith filled his heart. And all of a sudden he come walking out of there with a different look, with a different light shining on him. And he had a different countenance. And next thing you know, the people around him started saying, whoa, what happened to David? And he started dropping the rocks. And 600 people suddenly fell in line. Because David said, you can stay here if you want to. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm going after what was stolen. And I'm taking it back. And all of a sudden, 600 people took off. But there was 200 of them that wasn't able to go. And they stayed by the brook. But 400 went with David. And they overcame the enemy, because the enemy has always been dumb and stupid in their victories. Amen. They celebrate way too early. Have you ever seen somebody in a race start celebrating too early? I've seen videos, these guys, you know, they'll be running and they think they're way out in front, and all of a sudden they'll start going like this as they're running, you know, they think they won, and some guy that has been putting out effort right behind them suddenly steps in front of them right at the finish line. The devil always celebrates too early. David come up on the camp, and there they were in the valley, and they were partying. They were celebrating. They did not know. They didn't know that God had a little Egyptian that they'd kicked out because they thought he was going to die, and he took them right to where they were. There was a spy in the camp. God knows how to get us to where we need to be. Hallelujah. God knows how to get us where we need to be. They went after him. They fought from morning till evening. They fought until the only ones that escaped was a bunch of young men that could jump on some camels and take off. And they got away. Now, this is where I've been trying to get to. They took it back. They took it back. Amen. I believe in taking it back. Amen. I've seen a lot of victories where the enemies come in and try to take things away, but we take it back because God has given us the victory. But David took it back. He recovered everything without fail that had been taken away from him. But this is what God spoke to me. He said, then David turned around and looked, and the enemy had been plundering village after village, city after city, plundering and taking. And all of a sudden, David turned around and looked, and when the enemy attacked David, everything that was in the possession of the enemy became David's when they lost. They didn't just take back what was stole from them. David turned around and he said, this is my spoil. This is my spoil. In other words, David said, We took back everything the Amalekites took from us, but now everything the Amalekites have stolen now belongs to us. And that's when God began to speak to me. And he said, you've been far too satisfied with the victories, but you've left the battlefield cluttered with the spoil of the victory. And it's time to rise up and go out and begin to gather up the spoil left from the fight and the battle. I do not want the enemy to be able to get back what he lost. Oh, I'd like to preach the end of the story right now. Hallelujah. We need to get some buses and some trucks in the spirit and start going out and gathering the spoil. We ain't got enough room in our hands to gather up what has been left. We gotta get some trucks that we can load up. We gotta get some buses that we can load up, because there are women and children that have been stolen by the devil. But the victory of the Lord says they belong to us. They're ours. Oh, I gotta fast forward. Lord, help me. You realize how hard it is for a preacher to teach? Hallelujah. He said, this is mine. I want you to go with me in the book of Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. In the weeks ahead, we are going to outline a different way of fighting. We're going to learn a new art of war. Hallelujah. Glory. The old art of war has taken us into things we don't want to go to. Hallelujah. For years we focused on the temporal in the spoils of war. But I'm going to take us into the eternal. And we're going to see the battlefield. We're going to see what's left on the battlefield. And we're going to understand who owns what's left on the battlefield. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke chapter 4. In verse 5. This is after Jesus was baptized. And after Jesus was baptized, in verse 22 of chapter 3, it says, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now you got to understand, God was not just saying that for Jesus' sake. He wasn't just saying that for those standing around, because most people just thought it thundered. It's amazing how little of what God says we catch. Amen. We got spiritual tinnitus. I found out as I got older from working with loud tools and loud construction sites and hearing my own loud voice for several years, I developed this thing called tinnitus. And it's got a loud noise in your head, but you get to where you can't hear certain sounds, and so it sounds like people are talking a foreign language, and you listen to them and you're thinking, okay, I can hear what they're saying, but I'm not understanding what they're saying. Amen. Could you give me an interpreter? Amen. Hallelujah. And you want to be careful with that, because sometimes what you hear is long ways from what was said. It's like your autocorrect on your phone. You want to clarify before you activate. Amen. And many of us, God is speaking, and we're just hearing rumblings. We're just hearing thunder. God wants to clarify and heal our tinnitus. He wants to heal our ears, where instead of thunder, oh, we get excited at the thunder. Hallelujah. Today, if God spoke and it sounded like thunder and it shook this building, man, we would get excited about it. We would talk about that experience and we would start the church of thunder. Amen. We had an experience of thunder. God sent thunder, but what he actually sent was his voice. Let's not stop short of what God is doing. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He didn't say that for the benefit of the people standing around. He said that for the benefit of one, and that wasn't Jesus. Jesus already knew it, because at 12 years old, he said, I got to be about my Father's business. He already knew he belonged to Father God. He already had the wisdom. He already had the connection. I mean, he was smarter than all the Pharisees and the lawyers and everybody at 12 years of age. He already had it. And Mama Mary stepped in and made sure he didn't show off until it was time. Amen. God said that for the audience of one, and that was Satan. He broke through the atmosphere of the earth with his voice and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know why? Because he needed the devil to put the battle in array. He needed Satan to square off. He needed the devil to get full of pride and arrogance and square off with Jesus. Then he drove him by the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil come to him and started, he started out by trying to tempt him and deceive him. If you are the Son of, why did he say if you are? Because he just heard God say it. And he come and found Jesus in the wilderness. And he said, if you are, if that's true, he actually believed that he could manipulate and deceive Jesus into serving him. And finally, he couldn't wait. By the second question, he done jumped in. He thinks he's so brilliant, he can't wait to hear himself speak. Have you ever been around somebody like that? The devil thought he was so brilliant that he couldn't wait to hear himself speak. Verse 5 says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, listen to me, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. He said it worked on Adam, it'll surely work on this guy. Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you shall serve. Didn't work. Now when he said that, Jesus said, get behind me. What was he saying? Loser. You think that's going to work, don't you? Stand behind me. I don't even want to look at you. Not only will I not worship you, I won't even look at you. I will not gaze upon what you have. I will not be tempted. But what the devil did not understand, man, I'm trying to pace myself. What the devil did not understand was he was addressing the original holder of the title deed. Whew. He said, look at this. Look at all this authority been given to me, been put in my hands. I give it to whoever I want. And if you'll worship me, I'll let you have all this. And Jesus is standing there with his hand behind his back with the original deed and title to all creation. And he's saying, you don't know what's coming. You have no idea what you just stepped into. You just set the battle in array, and that's exactly what I needed you to do. I needed you to oppose me. Oh, hallelujah. Just want that to sink in just a little bit. sink into us just a little bit. Hallelujah. This encounter was very important because Jesus needed Satan to play into his hands. When Jesus said, "Get behind me," he took a position that Satan understood, because from then on, every time Jesus walked into a temple or anywhere that there was a demon-possessed person, they always cried out and worshiped and declared who he was. They always would cry out and say, "We know who you are. We know who you are." See, all of a sudden, Satan got the picture. When Jesus rose up and said, "Get behind me," I can imagine a chill run down his back and said, "Oh, I got to do this a different way." So being the narcissistic sociopath that he is, he stopped trying to get Jesus to yield to him personally, and he went and started working on the circle of influence around him. Oh, the devil's a liar. And yet he still works the same way today. Ha! You run up against a spirit like that and you won't yield to them, the first thing they do is go to people that know you and start trying to discredit you to those that know you and try to get them to turn on you. And that's what the devil did. Next thing you know, he gets the Pharisees wound up. Jesus went down to his hometown church and went in and read the word of God and said, "Today this is fulfilled in your ears." And the devil made the church turn against him. Stirred him up. That sociopath. And next thing you know, they're leading him out and going to throw him over a cliff. Somebody please tell me that's not normal human behavior. We don't like what you said, so we're going to throw you over a cliff. I know I was your Sunday school teacher for years, but I don't like what you said, so I'm going to throw you over a cliff. We're dealing with a lot of demons these days. We're living in a demonic age. Amen. We need the weapons to fight with that work. They haven't worked real good in the last several years. Come on, somebody. Oh, we got to get to the good stuff. Jesus held the original title and deed. But in John chapter 19 and verse 30, things begin to change. Jesus established who he was. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In John 19 and 30, it says, "And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said," this is after the garden, this is after Jesus took upon himself the sins of the whole world. This is after Jesus had said, "Oh, if there's any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me." Now, again, I'm not sure if Jesus was saying that for God's sake or if he was just making the devil think that he'd won. I don't know. I'm beginning to realize that a lot of times God does stuff just to get the devil to put his own head in the noose. But after he had received it on the cross, he took the sins of all the world. He made a declaration. He cried out something that literally went to the very core of every human being and the core of this earth and resounded in heaven, the heaven of heavens. Everywhere there was a cry that went out. It's the very thing that the priests would cry out when the sacrificial lamb was offered. They would say, "It is finished." But on the cross, the Lamb of God, the perfect sinless Lamb of God, made a declaration because he did not deserve to be hung on a cross. He did not sin. He had no sin in him. Everything that was done to him was illegal. Everything. The devil thought that he had got people wound up and manipulated to crucify Jesus. But he was just playing right into the hands of Jesus, because on the cross, the Pharisees didn't kill him. The Romans didn't kill him. Jesus gave up his spirit. That was a supernatural act, because Pilate was surprised that he was dead so soon. Jesus gave up his spirit. He sacrificed. He gave. Hallelujah. He gave. Nobody killed him. He gave. He said, I got thousands of angels that could come at any minute and deliver me. He had the healing power of God inside of him. Every wound they put on him would have healed up. Every stripe would have healed up. But he didn't come to get healed up. He came to pay a price, to shed his blood so that we could take part in his victory. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." What was he saying? I just won. Woo! He said, that was a declaration of victory. I just won. See, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Go with me to Colossians 2, verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. We're just laying groundwork today. It says that, let's back up to 13. "And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And then he went on to say, "having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." I want to read that out of the Passion Translation. States it a little different. It says, "For we," verse 12, "for we've been buried with him into his death." Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death described our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of the realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Verse 14, he canceled out every legal violation we have had on our record. See, when Jesus died on the cross, it was illegal. And because he was crucified illegally, he won the victory, because you can't crucify or kill somebody twice for the same thing. Well, they call it double jeopardy. That's why when we come into Christ and we receive the death, burial, and resurrection, and we are raised again in life, we have just received the payment for the illegal transaction that was done by the devil. And it can never be punished again. Jesus can never die again for that sin. He canceled every legal violation we had on our record, and the oldest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Next time the devil tries to come on you with condemnation of your past, just say, hey, you need to go read what's written on the cross. There is a permanent cancellation written in the blood of Jesus, and you can't bring it up again because that is illegal. In other words, shut up, devil. Verse 15, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in the procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Oh, children of God, we have forgot who we are, and we forgot where we stand, and the devil's been running roughshod over the kingdom of God in a way that is despicable and illegal. And everything he has done to the body of Christ in those that are in Christ has been illegal. And it is time to call the high sheriff of heaven and say, come and arrest this rascal. He has committed sin against us. He has come against us illegally. We receive your victory in its place. Ha! Glory. You realize how hard it is to preach this without going to the end? I preached to y'all yesterday. I did. I saw your faces. I saw where you're sitting. I was in your pew preaching to you yesterday. I'd have looked like a crazy man if the video cameras had been on. I was talking to you. Praise God. I can't get into it yet. But it is of a necessity for us to enter into the victories of Christ through battle. We say, well, oh, we receive that freely. Yes, you do. You receive it freely so that you can make a show of the devil openly, triumphing over him in it. Amen. Anybody that believes that there ain't going to be any fight in the kingdom of God, you don't understand that you're not qualified to go gather up the spoil until you come become identified with the victory of the battle. You have to become identified with the victory. Oh, I can't preach that yet. Come on. That's way down the road. We have to become identified with the victor in the battle. Jesus took back everything. Hallelujah. He took back everything that belongs to us. In Ephesians 4, 9, and 10, he says, what is it that he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And then Peter, oh, listen to me. Jesus was not just satisfied with a victory on the cross. He was not just satisfied with the resurrection. But there was something that belonged to him that he went after. And the Bible says that he descended. And then Peter tells us that Jesus even went and preached to those who were beyond the flood. What was it that when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into the very place where people were kept hostage, and he showed up saying, I won! I won! Now, these belong to me. The spoils belong to me. And he led captivity captive. Gave gifts unto men. He went and plundered every trophy that the devil had. Took them out of the way. It says he went and preached to them. Preached salvation, showed them the blood. See, they hadn't had the chance to see the blood. They didn't have the chance to see the nail prints. And he went back and he showed them. Even those back before Noah, those that drowned in the flood, those that didn't get on the ark. Oh, come on, somebody. They didn't make it on the ark. But all of a sudden, in captivity, Jesus shows up and starts preaching hope, starts preaching a way out. And he said he led captivity captive. In other words, he took possession of what had been stolen and taken. And he ascended into heaven and said, devil, they no longer belong to you. Hallelujah. Now I need to go back to Matthew chapter 28. Where we started, Jesus said. He stood up and said something that the disciples probably didn't understand at that time. Hallelujah. It ain't noon yet. Turn that alarm off. I can't believe I've got this much done before noon. See, Jesus stood up to the disciples and he said something. See, he went back to the Mount of Temptation. And he said, you remember what the liar said to me. All this authority has been given to me, been handed over to me. Jesus stood up after his resurrection to the disciples and he said, all authority has now been given to me. in heaven and on earth. What was he saying? What the devil took by deception, I have regained by truth. And all of a sudden, Jesus whipped that title deed out from behind his back and held it up, and he said, I am the original owner. I have the title deed. I canceled out the quick claim deed of the devil. I have the original. Signed in the name of my Father. And then he said something that involves us. He said, since I have all authority, since I have won the battle, since I have defeated every principality and power, go therefore. What was he saying? The spoils are on the battlefield. Go gather them up. Go gather them up. Hallelujah. Go gather them up. We see it as being such a hard thing. Oh, it's so hard to win souls these days. It's so hard to preach the gospel to the world. No, the battlefield is littered with the spoils of war. And God is saying, Jesus won the battle, and now the spoils are out there. Get your big trucks and your buses and go out and begin to gather up the spoils. I'm beginning to see why. Before God gave me this understanding and opened this up to me, he blessed us with a tent. Why? Because this church is about to send out an evangelistic team that's going to go out into the spoils and begin to gather them up. You say, Pastor, ain't you going to do that? I'll do some of it. You won't be able to hold me out of it. When I get under a tent, I change. Amen. You might even get to see me glow. Amen. You can ask some that's went with me on missions trips. When I get to preach in other countries, they say this glow begins to emanate from me while I'm preaching. What is that? That's the glory of God. That's the anointing of God. That's the power to take back what the devil stole and to go get the spoil. I'm telling you, right here in America, right here in Taney, Stone, Christian County, there's an anointing, there's a glow that's coming on the body of Christ, and we're going to begin to shine and glow for the power of God. Hallelujah. It ain't for somewhere else. Yeah. Hallelujah. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Hallelujah. We're going to take it back. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. It's just the introduction. We are going out to collect. I'm just going to give you, can I give you just a little bit? See, many of us wonder why we've had to fight the battles that we fought. Why has God allowed this to happen in my life? Why have I had to fight these battles? I'm a born-again child of God. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I'm full of the Spirit of God. Why have I had to fight these battles? It's because you got to qualify to be a gatherer of the spoils. You've got to be able to associate with the victory of Jesus. If you've never tasted the victory, you can't go out and take the spoils. I got to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I've got a field that's littered. Oh, man, I'm having a hard time keeping this back. I'm just going to give you one more little piece. One more little piece. God spoke to me. Man, I've been getting up early and the Holy Spirit's been talking to me. By the time the sun comes up, Sister Betty says, "What's wrong with you?" Because I'm already, man, I'm already wound tight. Holy Spirit told me, this is just a little bit so you can get ready for what's coming. Oh, listen to me, this last year, we won a victory.
Thank God.
Oh, I can't decide what to tell. We won a victory. And because of that victory, see, I might have felt it, but you guys were battling for me.
Yeah.
We won a victory.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to live. I was supposed to die. Sickness and infirmity came after my physical body and decided it was going to kill my physical body. But in 2 days, I was out of the hospital. 2 weeks later, I was standing behind this pulpit so weak and shaky I couldn't stand up, declaring a prophetic word God gave me. What was it? I've got. Oh, listen, this church has a harvest field that is littered with sick and diseased people that we need to go out. The devil owes me thousands of healings.
Yeah.
Glory. Because Christ gave us the victory and gave me the victory and gave me life. For a little while longer, I now stand in a victory of a battle. And behind me is a battlefield littered with spoil. Everything the devil had in his possession when he lost the fight now belongs to us.